Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance. X Insurance. From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, it's Tuesday. Today.
Yeah, it is. Taco Tuesday.
I lost track of time after Sunday show and yesterday. Yeah, today is Tuesday. Tomorrow is garbage day at the ranch. Hard to believe tomorrow is the hump day already. Good heavens. This week is flying by. Welcome inside the Sig Sauer Studios with us, guys. Patriot Mobile microphone fired up for you. Sauer's being brought to you every day by BudsGunShop.com. Have you checked them out yet? BudsGunShop.com. Everything you want, they have. Everything you need, they have. So go check them out online at budsgunshop.com. We love all of our partners. All of this is being brought to you today and every day by the great X Insurance. Greg, would you be kind enough to tell people where to watch? And they'll see some new video stuff up that we're messing with today. And it's just going to get better as we progress towards our launch of the second hour AAR Unholstered Hour, which is going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
Greg, I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. If you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you're going to see the menu icon. Just give that a click, and when that window opens up, you can select that Watch Live option. If you're driving, hit that Listen Live link. And if you missed any previous episode and need to get caught up, head over to that podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chat, all you have to do is head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
And I jumped up and grabbed some water in the nick of time, brother.
Well, good timing.
Yeah, well, sometimes you move pretty quick. Let's go to our guest for the hour, Lee, the gunwriter Williams. Lee, how the heck are you, my brother from another mother?
It's Tuesday. It seems like it should be Friday. I've been busy, brother, as you can figure out.
Look, as every day is a Friday, Lee.
Yeah, that's not right? A bad idea, actually.
It's all good. People thought I was weird. I used to love Mondays. Because Mondays was the start of the week. I always enjoyed starting the week. I always wanted to see what was coming. I don't like to wish my life away. You know what I mean? That's not a good thing. Seems like a bunch of ATF people want to do that, though. Oh, ouch. Did I say that? Yeah, we're going to continue. We're going to continue our conversations about the ATF today. Lee, the gunwriter Williams, is doing some amazing work. And what I mean by that, guys, is the ATF is... just apparently determined to put themselves and you as a law-abiding citizen in danger with these tactics that they're using. But let's now go to Charlotte, North Carolina, Lee, where yesterday, very bad day in Charlotte, North Carolina, four law enforcement officers were killed, actually serving an arrest warrant on a guy they had a warrant on for being a felon in possession of firearms. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's what I've seen, yeah. That's what I've learned through the media.
In this case, I hear you. But the distinction here is there was no arrest warrant in the Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton airport executive director murder a couple weeks back, was there? There was no arrest warrant. They didn't have a warrant. Now, let me make this clear. If they had with the goods, they would have been able to get a warrant. So apparently they didn't. They were just on a search and destroy mission.
They were investigating Brian Malinowski March 19th when they kicked open his door and shot him in the head with a carbine at least once. That was part of their investigation. They had a search warrant to search his home. They did not have an arrest warrant to take him into custody.
Okay, now... let's flip over to North Carolina, where law enforcement did have an arrest warrant. Give us the distinction. They had an arrest warrant, which tells us what? They knew a whole lot more than what the ATF knew, right?
they got a federal judge or a U.S. magistrate to sign off on a piece of paper on a bench warrant saying you have demonstrated to me that there is enough probable cause to take so-and-so into custody. And he signs it, you go out and arrest him.
Is it fair, I'm sitting here thinking out loud, is it fair to believe or think that the ATF going back to Arkansas a few weeks ago may have actually tried to seek a warrant and couldn't get a warrant, which is why they were on the fact-finding mission? If they had the goods on this guy, wouldn't they have done that? Isn't that the process they would have followed?
You know, yeah. Or they could have discovered something there that would have given them probable cause to take him into custody. Usually the warrants I've done have all been dope. And, you know, you go into someone's home, you find heroin, you find cocaine. They're going to jail with you, regardless of whether you had an arrest warrant for them. Usually a search warrant's enough. I don't know what they were seeking in the search warrant they did at Brian Malinowski's home. I don't know what kind of evidence there could have been. You know, cell phone records, maybe receipts for firearms. Who knows? They accused him of selling firearms without an FFL, which is nebulous at best. I hate even talking about what he was accused of because he's not here to defend himself. So we don't know. Bottom line,
my guess is if they maybe that's why. Well, no, because, you know, we've been talking about why couldn't they just wait and pick him up in his driveway or something like that. But they didn't have an arrest warrant. Maybe that's why.
Well, you can still detain somebody while you search their home.
Because they did have the valid search warrant.
Yeah. You can't.
Okay.
You have to be safe. You have to make it so he can't interfere with you while you're doing your search, which is why I would have gone to him at his office and said, hey, have a seat. We're going to be here a while. Other agents are going to be searching your home. Are there any dogs, or is your wife home? Are there any dogs we need to worry about? Stuff like that. Of course, they never did that.
Now, let's move to North Carolina yesterday. ATF was not involved in the federal case. It wasn't federal. Felon in possession. Where was the ATF on a really, truly legitimate arrest warrant? Where were they? How come they weren't there?
I'm speculating, but that sounds like an ATF charge. They got a warrant. A warrant was issued. Let's say that. A warrant was issued, and then it was sent to the marshals to go in and collect this guy. Marshals, they're pretty good about doing that, considering that most of what they do is safeguard courthouses, guard the judiciary, and go out and arrest really bad hombres. I don't know why
they
wasn't there.
Well, let's speculate and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, aren't marshals, weren't these U.S. marshals? Weren't these federal agents?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was a federal case. You got deputy U.S. marshals from the U.S. Marshals Service going out there and trying to arrest this dude.
Where was the big, bad, scary, we're in your face, stopping crime, gun crime, ATF as federal agents? As this went down, I've seen nothing that they were on scene. Not that's been reported anyway. Where were they?
No, and two of the marshals were part of a task force. I believe there was only one of the gentlemen who was killed was an actual deputy U.S. marshal. I saw something about two of the others were part of the U.S. Marshals task force, which tells me they've got some kind of federal task force set up there, probably involving the ATF. They're involved in everything else anyway. Yeah, I don't know where they were. I can only speculate that maybe they wanted the marshals to handle this because this was a bad hombre, as opposed to a 53-year-old airport executive.
Oh, so we're going there.
Yeah.
Lee just took us there. Let's go there. Big bad ATF has no problem kicking your door in without an arrest warrant. Just to go on a seeking fact-finding, we have a search warrant mission. But when the crap is going to go down and a task force is involved on a bad hombre who has an arrest warrant, the ATF is nowhere to be found. Huh. This poses questions. These are legitimate questions. In an age of a weaponized ATF, these are legitimate questions. You correct me if I'm wrong before we go to the break, Lee.
No,
is it fair for us to ask these questions?
Absolutely. It's an ATF charge. ATF is brought in when there's charges involving firearms.
They certainly do when they're going after a law-abiding gun shop that's been in business for 50 years. ATF makes no bones about that, do they?
No, none whatsoever.
ATF has no problem kicking in a guy's door without an arrest warrant, just for a search warrant, and killing him. There's that. But then we have this guy where federal agents are actually involved in what you would think would be an ATF-involved case. Hey, if you're the ATF, you can get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. You won't call. I've tried to talk to some of the agents at SHOT before, and they won't give me the time of day because they're chicken. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues with Lee the Gunwriter Williams right after this. More to talk about. Following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show. AAR, Patriot Mobile phone right here in my hands. If you're watching us on screen, I just held it up. Patriotmobile.com. Support the businesses that support you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at that point in this country. You have got to line up with who supports you. And you've got to tell the people that don't support you to go pound salt. And you can do that very easily with your wallet. It's very simple. See Bud Light as an example if you want proof of that. It does work. And we do have the power to do it. Use it. And it's not just walking away from somebody that doesn't support you. There are businesses out there that do support you. Every one of our sponsors supports you. Support them back. Want to change your service? I did it. It's real simple. This little chip right here. I'm holding that up. A little tiny chip. Changed it for me. It can change it for you. PatriotMobile.com/AAR and Armed American Radio for all of our partners. Lee the Gunwriter Williams, welcome back, my brother from another mother.
It is good to be here.
These are disturbing stories. I don't like having to talk about this stuff. I really, truly don't. It pains me to see what's happening within the confines of federal law enforcement in this country, from the top down, FBI down. Now, I'm not saying that there's no good agents in the FBI. There are many. And I'm not saying that there's no good agents in the U.S. There are many. And I'm not saying that there's not some bad cops out there. There are. But I'm telling you this, if you're ATF, at this stage of the game, you know you're working for a weaponized agency? Now, I know where you're coming from. You have no problem busting in the executive director of the airport's house to search it and killing him, apparently, because none of you have spoken out about it. No whistleblowers that I'm aware of, Lee.
No, I think my phone would be ringing off the hook if there was anybody there with a conscience.
Hey, David Kodria. David's phone would be ringing up, and it's not. You have no problem putting gun shops out of business, and apparently they're nowhere to be found. When this real bad hombre, how do we know he's a bad hombre? Look what happened in Charlotte yesterday, folks. You have four dead. I guess it was one or two local cops and two marshals. It was very serious business. And in our chat here, Hank says one of the officers was the stepson of my cousin.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's real stuff. And we had some other cops that were shot not too long ago as well. All of this is a product, or a byproduct, maybe I should say, of a lawless, Democrat-run society. Is that too broad brush of a statement to make, Lee, when you look at what's happening in Democrat-run cities across the country today?
No, and I'll, to bring it home to ATF specifically, no, it's not too broad of a statement to make. They were the first agency that Biden weaponized in his war on guns, gun dealers, and law-abiding gun owners. And they went along willingly, and they're still playing along. We've got a story coming probably Thursday about another excess, another set of civil rights violations by the ATF, another false arrest. I mean, I hope through these stories, eventually some of these federal judges and federal magistrates will take notice and maybe take some judicial notice. But the next time the ATF comes in front of them with a piece of paper and saying, hey, we want you to sign this, which authorizes us to violate this man's Fourth Amendment rights or Fifth Amendment and 14th Amendment, I hope the judge takes a hard look at it, maybe ask a few more questions rather than willy-nilly signing it and sending the agents on their way. These guys are not operating like other federal law enforcement agencies operate. They are weaponized. They're going after people and violating their civil rights.
Do we believe that they're going to not go in front of a judge that wasn't appointed by somebody that's going to give them what they want? They know who to go in front of. They know what judge to go in front of. They know what judge to stay away from. Do they not?
Sometimes, yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're going for search warrants, put it this way, I was always glad to get a certain judge and reluctantly went to others to get some paperwork signed. However, you know, nobody's covering. Here's the problem. Nobody but the gun community is covering the excesses of ATF. I mean, look at the stories in the legacy media that they did on Brian Malinowski's killing. Some of them were positively glowing for how the ATF reacted to this horrible man who committed the terrible violation of selling firearms without a license, even though it's completely legal in Arkansas.
Now let's go there. I'm glad you went
provided,
there. I'm glad
they you provided went top. There. They provided top cover to the ATF.
Let's go there. I'm glad you did that because that, ladies and gentlemen, is a byproduct, again to use that word, of a mainstream media, lamestream legacy media, propaganda wing of the Democrat Party, the liberal media that we all know and hate, rightfully so, with good reason, good measure, of demonizing firearms day after day, hour after hour, week after week, month after month, year after year after year, that they can get away with glorifying a story about what the ATF did in Arkansas because it was all about this guy and his big bad gun or guns that he sold or may have sold or may not have sold. We'll never know now because the man was murdered. And that's a byproduct of how that reporting goes. There's enough people out there that have this drilled in their head all day long that they're glorifying what the ATF did. Now, we don't have anybody in mainstream media with any cojones and stones up there now that will stand up and ask real questions about what the ATF actually did. There was a time in America, and I remember it because I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to remember, when there would have been 60 Minutes would have done something on it, Lee, years ago.
Years ago, okay? They absolutely would have.
You would have seen it on an ABC or an NBC. Now we just CBS is all it is. But you remember that time as a journalist for the last 20 years when that would have been investigated. Somebody would have asked those questions. Not anymore. None whatsoever. And then we have this horrific situation that unfolded in North Carolina yesterday. It's just awful. You have a piece. So, yeah, ATF, we're poking you in the chest. You deserve it. You've earned it. ATF's poorly trained operators are a threat to public safety. Let's just get – Greg, how much time do I have? I'm sorry. I'm losing track. I'm not paying attention to the clock. A little over a minute. Lee, I'll turn it over to you. Let's start now. When you hear the music, you know when to cut it. Take us to the break, and then we'll talk about it when we come back, the third segment.
Well, ATF has been causing so much havoc with the use of their special response team, I decided to take a hard look at it. And I was awestruck to learn that the course to be on ATF special response team is only 2 weeks long. We compared it to some military units. We compared it to some federal law enforcement. I mean, special agents who want to get on the FBI's hostage rescue team, which is incredibly, they're incredibly good. They got to pass new operator training school. That's 10 months long. Secret Service guys who want to be on the counter assault team, that's the SUV that follows the president, that are responsible for getting out and tearing it up with guys who want to hurt the president. They have a 7-week course. Secret Service snipers have a 10-week course. Border Patrol's tactical unit, they have a 3-week selection course. And then if they pass that, they got a 6-week training course. Yet to be on ATF SWAT team, it's a 2-week course. And I'll tell you about what they're trying to laughably, what they're trying to cram in this intensive program when we get back.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because some of those other courses that you mentioned with those other agencies, I'm going to bet you that a lot of those, most of them, have many years of prior experience as well. So this is just adding to the training that they've already gotten. We'll be back with Lee to cover it. Love doing this. We'll be right back.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Freedom, passion, precision, Daniel Defense. Yes, indeed. Make sure to check them out at danieldefense.com. Great partner, long-term partner, long-time partner at Armed American Radio. All of our great partners can be found at armedamericanradio.com. And if you enjoy listening to the podcast of this show beginning tomorrow, which will be May 1st, yeah, Greg, there's no 31 in April, right? It's April 30th.
That's
the end of the month, aren't you? Good heavens. Yeah. So I complete another trip around the sun on Sunday, Cinco de Mayo. Wow. Forgot about that. But nonetheless, May 1st, you will begin hearing the intro of the podcast, ammosquared.com. And when the second hour goes up, and it will soon enough, you'll be hearing also from Bud's Gun Shop. And this hour is being brought to you by Bud's Gun Shop as well. So make sure to visit all of our partners. They make it all possible, ladies and gentlemen. All the cool stuff we've got going on is because of them. Lee the Gun Writer Williams, welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about your piece. It's titled, ATF's Poorly Trained Operators, and that's in quotes, are a threat to public safety. And you gave us just that little brief intro that it's just a 10-week course for their hardcore, or two-week course.
2 week.
Okay. So is that going to be 10 days work days or weekends off, or is that going to be 14 days? Well, we don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they're just working Monday through Fridays over there at the ATF, you know, the AFT, whatever Biden wants to call it today, and his dementia-addled mind. You can tell what kind of mood we're in today.
Through the AFT.
But, through the AFT. There you go. Thanks a lot for that, Joe Dementia Boy. So, so it's 2 weeks. Take it from there. It's a fascinating column. I'll let you talk about it.
Well, here's, you know, everything you need to know about this program is can be summarized very easily by what they claim to train during this two-week period. Marksmanship, manipulation of numerous weapon systems, individual and team tactical movements, tactical medicine, chemical agent deployment, use of less lethal weapon systems, armored vehicle operations, surveillance, helicopter operations, operational planning, defensive tactics, breaching, repelling, fast roping, rural patrolling, and operations. That, friends, is a joke. Individual marksmanship should take more than 2 weeks, much less individual and team tactical movements. CQB, what do they have? They spend a day doing CQB, one out of 10 days doing CQB, close quarters battle. And then they have rural patrolling, too. Give me a break. CQB takes a hell of a lot longer than 2 weeks to train.
And well, unless you're ATF, what do you need when it's a law-abiding citizen and you're breaking their door down at 5 o'clock in the morning? It's really not cool. They're just going to kill you.
Yeah. I mean, this thing is a joke. Helicopter operations, fast roping, rappelling. Give me a break. This thing is a joke. And just like the team, it is. And then the worst part for me, brother, is they don't know how bad they are. But they call themselves operators, and there's a couple of videos on ATF's website from the school, and they're interviewing some of these graduates and some of the cadre there. Now you're an operator. Well, no, you're not. Okay, there's not even consensus among the military special operations community about who's an operator. Some say it's only our tier one dudes like Delta and DEVGRU. But you know, then some say you should be able to say MARSOC Marines, the rest of the SEALs, Army, SF, Air Force, Special Operations, and Rangers. I don't care. Nobody really fights about who's an operator because, you know, it's more of a mindset. It's not a tab or a badge. But one thing is clear, ATF SWAT guys are not operators. They're using the terms of insult, insulting. They're hardly even, they're thugs with guns, I said in the story. They are thugs with guns. They're incredibly well-armed and well-equipped. They've got they're wearing CRY multicam, you know, which is a $300 pair of pants and a $200 shirt, all paid for by your taxpayer dollars, but they are not operators under any.
Yeah, and then they take their cameras off when they kick in an executive airport director's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, to execute a search warrant, not an arrest warrant. But there's a photograph in this article, ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
I wish. I can't hold it up in front of a microphone. It kind of reminds me of the beer mug. And you heard that this morning, Lee. When Sean, my former producer, asked me, he says, Mark, did you show them the picture? I said, no, Sean, I didn't think the picture would go well over the radio. I can only paint you the theater of the mind visual of this, but we included a photograph of this. And I'm going to describe it as there's six ATF special operators. They all look like Michael Dukakis poking his head out of the tank years ago. You know, like Snoopy with their helmets on, and they're walking along, what, 4x4s on top of concrete posts over a little dirty pond of water. And the guy leading the charge out front has got his arms out like, I don't want to fall into this dirty pond. I mean, that doesn't look like an operator, dude. That looks like my grandpa not trying to fall down wearing a helmet with a shirt that says ATF police on it.
And you know that water's got to be, what, about 6 inches deep?
Yeah, well, you know. They make it too easy. Yeah, ATF, stand up on your hind legs. Poking you in the chest. There it is. Poke you again.
Walk the plank.
That's what it looks like. Walk the plank. God. It's so embarrassing. I wish we had their names.
I know. I'm so sorry I didn't get it.
Well, first guy, I'm going to guess. I'm going to take a stab at his name. I think his name is Philip Fudd. Oh, good heavens. Yeah, real tough guys. You're tough guys.
Yeah.
It's really tough to go to somebody's door at 5:30 in the morning and murder them.
Instead of Hell Week, this is their Hell 15 minutes, you know, walking the plank around a water obstacle.
Yeah, meanwhile, you got a real bad guy that murdered four cops. And it wasn't just he was killed in the exchange of gunfire, but apparently, from what I'm hearing, two more people may likely have opened up on the cops as well. These were bad people. And as far as I know, unless ATF refutes it, they were nowhere to be found. Not when that went down, anyway. No.
Well, try and get an answer out of them. You got to understand all these stories that I've done to ATF. Every time I do one, I call them for comment, and they never respond, brother.
Right. Well, that tells you what you need to know, doesn't it? Doesn't that tell you?
Absolutely.
When your government, and when you talk about ATF, that's your government, ladies and gentlemen. That's your taxpayer-funded government operators are calling themselves. Failing to respond to you. It's zero transparency whatsoever. What did Biden say? We're going to be most transparent. Then I'm going to lose my mind and not even know, you know, tell stories about my great uncle being eaten by cannibals or something stupid like that. This is the world we're living in today. And, man, podcast territory at that. It's so frustrating. It really, truly is frustrating when you know. What's happening? You know why they're not doing it. Certainly, we are not the only people that are thinking this. I know we're not. All you got to do is look up ATF on Twitter, and you'll find a lot worse than what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is true, ladies and gentlemen. We're not speculating in any of this.
And I don't want to tar the other federal law enforcement elite teams with this same brush. I mean, look at Border Patrol's BORTAC. These are the guys that went in and killed that madman in the Uvalde school.
Right.
Okay. This is a legit group. Secret Service snipers are incredible, and the FBI's hostage rescue team. You know, they ate a lot of crap after Waco because they were there, they were involved, but this was not their show. They've come a long way since.
Remind us who Show Waco was.
Ruby Ridge. That was an ATF show, as was Ruby Ridge. Yeah. And the minute they get into trouble, they have to call in the other agencies, Marshals and FBI, to help bail them out.
All right. Yeah, it's pathetic. It really, truly is. It's really pathetic. When we come back, we've got one more segment with Lee, the Gunwriter Williams. We'll find something else to talk about. I'll just do like radio hosts do with me when I'm on their show. What do you want to talk about, Lee? Sometimes that's the best way to get a conversation started. When we come back, we've got one more segment with Lee, the gun writer Williams, who, by the way, is doing exceptional work on covering this rogue agency on behalf of Armed American News and, of course, the Second Amendment Foundation's journalism reporting, investigative journalism. He is the head of that. We'll be back right after this with Lee.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
One final segment left in this hour of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Patriot Mobile microphone fired up for you here at the ranch. 6 hour studios lit up. Bud's Gun Shop, if you're watching on video, really cool logo. You can find them on my website, also ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Bud's Gun Shop has everything that you need and everything that you want. It's pretty much that simple. And they run specials constantly, constantly. Now, we're going to be doing some fun promotions with them coming up over the course of the next few weeks. And when we've got something that we want to highlight for you, we'll direct you over there with some codes or to take advantage of whatever it is that's going on over at budsgunshop.com. But they're the real deal. And they also have three brick-and-mortar stores as well. They have three brick-and-mortar stores as well over at Bud's Gun Shop. So if you're in the Kentucky area, Lexington, Kentucky, we're going to be broadcasting from their facilities in the very, very near future. So make sure to check them out, budsgunshop.com. And remember that all of this is being brought to you today and every day by the great X Insurance. Don't forget MyPillow.com, Patriot Mobile, and Ammo Squared. Tomorrow you'll hear them kicking off in front of the podcast. They'll be bringing the podcast for you every single day. AmmoSquared.com. I think I'm up close now to 120 rounds already in just the month. Yeah, 120 rounds already. I got another email today. So my ammo is just stockpiling every single week, and it's not going to be long before it's in the thousands. And when I want it, they will ship it to me right away. GoatGuns.com. Have some fun with those things. Give them as gifts. They're fantastic. GoatGuns.com. If it's your first purchase, use the AAR promo code and get 10% off right out of the gate. BarrelBuddy.com. You keeping your guns clean? Barrel Buddy's got you covered. And it's a great product. It just wipes it. No more. Get rid of the patch. Just do what they say. Pitch the patch. Barrel Buddy has you covered. HeavensHarvest.com and all the rest of our great partners over at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Lee Williams, the gun writer. Let me move back to this North Carolina for just a second. AWR Hawkins has a great piece up on Breitbart about the guy who shot and killed the three U.S. Marshal Task Force officers and the Charlotte Mecklenburg cop at Monday, yesterday at 1:30 p.m. The suspect is a 39-year-old Terry Clark Hughes, who already served, quote-unquote, nearly a year in prison after a 2012 arrest for felon in possession of a firearm following a high-speed chase. So this guy's been a felon for most of his adult life. He was arrested by CMPD on multiple drug charges in May of 2021 and, quote, also charged with fleeing or eluding arrest with a motor vehicle. This was a bad hombre. And get this, on the fleeing or eluding, he was released from custody in less than a day. Less than a day, instead of being locked up and you'd have four officers who were not dead today as a result of this. And this is, again, this failed judicial system, absolutely failed system. And somebody has blood on their hands. And I'm sure that there will be some follow up in conservative media and guys like you. And we'll talk about it when it comes out. But don't hold your breath when it comes to mainstream press. They'll move on to something else that makes Joe Biden appear to be a 50-year-old man with no mental issues whatsoever, because they're going to do their damnedest to make sure that happens. Lee, it's embarrassing when I read stuff like that. It's really, truly embarrassing. Now, what I want to cover with you for the next 4 minutes, because this blows my mind. I haven't spoken about this yet, guys, but I'm going to have some fun with it. Did you see, Lee, the embassy, U.S. embassy in the Bahamas warning against taking ammo to the Turks and Caicos?
Yeah, I did.
That guy?
And Having been in the Caribbean, I worked on St. Thomas. I was living there as their investigative reporter. I am intimately familiar with how crazy these little islands can be about showing up with us, even with a spent piece of brass. It's nuts.
But you know that. So here's my question. I am not blaming the guy who made the mistake that is now looking at 12 years because he had four rounds of ammo in his carry-on bag. Now, here's the interesting part about this, Lee. First off, he didn't get caught with the ammo in his bag until he was leaving the Turks and Caicos. He made it through U.S. TSA with four rounds of ammo in. There's that part of the equation that nobody wants to talk about. But there's also this. We really got to warn you to look in your bag when you're taking an international flight to check for ammo. You're really at this stage of the game in your career and life, whatever you want to call it. You're using the same bag that you're carrying ammo in to fly with. I mean, yeah, come on, man.
I have my range bags and then I have my travel luggage.
Yeah.
The two shall never meet. It makes no sense. The penalties are too stiff. Yeah, he's looking at 12 years, but the way the TNC works is I'm sure if there's he'll be presented with a possibility to pay some type of fine for a lot of money to some certain individual, and then he'll be on the next thing steaming northwest.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not be this person.
Yeah.
Don't be this person. If you're taking an international flight, Lee, when I fly domestic, and I fly a lot more than the average bear, the average boo-boo, right? Trying to whittle that down somewhat. But I go through, I empty everything just to be, even though I know I had nothing in it. But you think, well, you know, I'm a human being. I could make a mistake. Did I carry that backpack with a gun in it? No, I didn't. But I empty it anyway. I put my fingers down along inside. I feel the creases inside. I just make sure there's nothing there. Nothing. And, you know, international flight, I'm not going to check my bag. Well, there's ammo in it. What are you doing using a bag you carry ammo in? Guys, please don't be that person. Again, I'm not, well, I guess I kind of am blaming him. I guess I am. Because he's the one that did it. So let's just be real here.
You talk about a punishment not fitting the crime.
Well, that's true. I'm not justifying what they do in the Turks and Caicos, but what I'm telling you is that's their law. It's not the United States, and you'd better damn well be aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your responsibility. You don't have to agree with it. It can be the stupidest thing in the world. But if you choose to go there, you would better be aware of it.
I know cops who would go fishing in Canada, bring their handguns, and never see their handguns again. Mm-hmm. You have to understand the laws of the countries you're going to.
Yeah, your constitutional rights mean nothing to them. Nothing. Well, I'm an American. I have constitutional rights. Well, you're not in the United States of America. You're in our island. And, well, what you did is a crime here.
Yeah.
And they don't have to like you. They don't have to honor your constitutional rights.
I would be remiss if I didn't say something about the press release that SAF put out.
Go for it.
Two SAF cases were among the five cases distributed Tuesday by the Supreme Court for their May 16th conference. Two of the five were SAF challenges to assault weapon bans,
yes,
and mag bans, one in Illinois and one in Maryland. The five cases, all that the Supreme Court is going to consider in May, are all essentially dealing with the same issues, the same two issues. Which, you know, Mr. Gottlieb and Mr. Kraut are excited that hopefully this is going to mean the Supreme Court is going to consider and overturn these assault weapon bans in all 50 states.
Oh, good heavens. Wouldn't it be wonderful? We have absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, you hear Alan Gottlieb on the program. You'll hear him coming up on Sunday. We'll be talking about this, no doubt. But it's a big deal, and it's likely, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Lee. I'm going to say it's likely the Supreme Court takes one of these cases because what those two cases do is represent circuit splits, ladies and gentlemen, which is usually what the Supreme Court likes. That's why they're there. You can join us at SAF and help this along, believe me, especially if you live in one of these places. Lee, the Gunwriter Williams, thank you, brother, for everything you do. Second Amendment Foundation's investigative journalism reporter. He's the man. ArmedAmericanNews.com and thegunwriter.substack.com. We'll be back. Well, next hour, if you're on the West Coast, we'll see you on the radio.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.